our special days and anniversaries and birthdays and all of those sorts of things. And people sometimes will do different priorities and so on. Church may be put aside to celebrate that particular day, but I'm thankful that we can celebrate the Lord any particular day, every day, and exalt the Lord. Praise God. So, Brother Mike's birthday, and I'm making him work tonight. Praise God. Come preach, Brother Mike. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Have a bunch of delicious cookies I'm not going to share with anybody, except my children, of course. Don't have a choice. What a blessing it is to have truth. You think about your birthdays, and 47 years old, feel every bit of it, look every bit of it. And I was born into this. I didn't have to search for it. I didn't have to somehow be blessed with mercy to stumble into the right place. I was born into this, born into a pastor's home and raised in this. And I cannot think of a bigger blessing in this world than to have that kind of a heritage and have that kind of a blessing to where I don't have to ever have that moment or those testimonies where, like, finding Jesus Christ and finding this revelation that so many people are looking for and hungry for, reaching for, and have not yet attained to. So grateful for this. There's so much mercy involved in that. And it's amazing how we can be born into something, and besides taking it for granted, we can also look at other people like they're struggling when they have had to literally with their hunger and with their thirst for God, find truth and start growing into truth. And here I am sitting on it, and what am I doing with it? So on my birthday, that's what I'm very thankful for right there. Well, I'm going to be looking at 2 Kings chapter 4, and it's going to be a prophetic insight for Sterling Pentecostal Church. When we look at this is so amazing, the Word of God, and how much depth there is to it, and how much, there's just so much that we don't know. There's so many things that are just looking, waiting for us to discover them as we grow, as we are going line upon line, and it's wonderful, and I love the Word of God, and I love growing in the Word of God, and the great majority of what I grow in, I will never minister, or I will never speak. It's for me, and I love it. There's so much treasure here. And living in dark times like we're living, it's our strength. For example, Genesis 1, verse 3, says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." He didn't create light from nothing. It was already there. And so it's revealed right there. And so if that's the light that it says in 2 Corinthians 4 that he commanded to shine out of darkness, we now behold it in the face of Jesus Christ. It's got to be different light than the light he's talking about later on in this chapter. And it is. And so you see this light in Genesis 1, 3, Genesis 1, 4, and 5. Again, in Genesis 1:18, to rule over the day, over the night, to divide the light from the darkness, God saw that it was good, and you don't see it again until Exodus 10. When we're talking about dark times, here's your promise. And that's Exodus 10 and 23 is the next time you see this light. The Greek letter number 216, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. It didn't matter. The Egyptians couldn't see to even move around. When Moses made that darkness to where it could be felt, everywhere the Israelites moved, they had light. What a promise that is for us in these end times. They're still in bondage here in Egypt, and they've got a light, whereas the darkness in Egypt gets it to where they cannot even move. Who speaks that? Moses does. Without warning, by the way. So there's so many awesome things in here, isn't there? And so, with this story, we have Elijah, Elisha, and Elijah obviously being, you know, John the Baptist coming in the anointing end. Spirit of Elijah, I mean, to the point that they're really similar. Elijah is a hairy dude, and he has a hairy prayer mantle. And John the Baptist is a hairy dude, and they're loners. And they kind of do their own thing, and they're very confrontational. But they have a powerful prophetic anointing that is literally mirroring each other, and they're the ones that introduce, John the Baptist introduces Jesus' ministry by baptizing him. And so Elisha is going to be a type of Jesus, Son of God, there on earth, Son of Man, but then Jesus Christ really is how I'm portraying him tonight with the double portion anointing. That's an anointing of Hebrews 7, that's king and priest anointing. And so Elisha is Elijah gets puts the mantle over Elisha. Elisha starts to serve him. And this is after Mount Carmel, where Elijah calls all of Israel up to that mountain. 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 of Jezebel's don't show up. And he calls them, and it's a moment where he's bringing Israel back to God. And you see it there. What he does is, he how long are you going to halt between two opinions? The one that answers by fire, let him be God. And then when it's his turn, after he mocks them in every crude way he can think of, using the bathroom, for example, asking them if Baal's using the bathroom, as they're cutting themselves, it says he repairs the altar. And when that repair right there, that's healed, that's the same as by his stripes we are healed. Rapa, he rapas the altar. And so he repairs that relationship that they used to have with God, that altar, and he baptizes it 3 times. And so he's showing us the baptism of repentance. But he, remember what John the Baptist said. He said, there's one coming after me. He's mightier than I. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And when that fire comes down, that altar is completely destroyed, pointing to the fact that we're coming to a point when that law is no longer going to be the relationship that we're going to, that Israel's going to have with their God. It's going to be this new covenant. I'm going to write my law in your hearts. And it's a whole transition there, and you can see it just right there at Mount Carmel. Well, he's getting ready to be translated. He never dies. And his spirit still, boy, do we ever need that spirit now. When he's up there, Mount Carmel, Obadiah, I've said this many times, a coward Obadiah, he's second in charge with Ahab. You compare him to Daniel and those three, the Azariah, Mishael, and Hananiah, and how they stood strong for they were not hiding their faith in God and their relationship with God, whereas Obadiah is undercover. Ahab has no idea that he's even a servant of Jehovah. He sees Elijah, and immediately it's all about, don't you remember, I took 100 prophets, I hid them in the cave, I fed them by 50 in one cave, 50 in the other, I fed them, and now you're going to make me go get killed by Ahab because I'm going to go tell him that you're wanting to meet him. And so Elijah had to get him manned up. He finally goes and brings and does his job. Elijah comes, and the prophet faces off with the king of Israel, the 10 tribes. And he calls, Ahab says, there you are, the one that troubles me, troubles Israel. And he goes, no, you are. And boy, do we ever need that in these days, in this age. And so when he's up there in Mount Carmel, he says, I am the only prophet of Israel. And he's correct, because if you're in a cave, you're hiding out, you're not a prophet. So we have too many so-called prophets in caves these days, hiding out and excusing their cowardice anyways. And so we know the story of him getting the double portion. They go through the Jordan. It's the same Jordan, the same spot that Jesus is baptized in. And Elisha is much more a man of the people. He's the one that's going to be doing these school of prophets everywhere. And he does the circuit. He's not out by himself. And in fact, he's so amazing to me because he never feels the need to actually even say what he's going to say to people. You got that moment when Naaman comes. I mean, this is a huge deal because it goes to the king of Israel that my number one soldier is coming over with, and he has leprosy, and you're going to heal him. He's like, what? And Elijah gets word of that, and he says, send him over. Send him over to me, and he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. Naaman shows up with this big entourage. Elisha doesn't even come out the door. He sends Gehazi to say everything. That's amazing. Amazing to me. Of course, that's a picture also. I'm not going to get into all these pictures and types. But we understand that he raises somebody from the dead. His body, when he's dead, raises somebody from the dead. And he heals the water there in Jericho. He multiplies the loaves, the barley loaves, and there's leftovers. I mean, there's so many things that are pointing to this ministry that Jesus had on earth, and now we have Jesus Christ as the king priest with that double the anointed with the double portion, and. This story here in 2 Kings 4, it's 8 through 37. We're not going to do it all. Here's another thing you find in Scripture is I have these little things that I've learned to find that show me that there's something extra or something that I need to really pay attention to. I have hidden codes that I look for that show me when we're talking about something that's messianic. I have all kinds of things. And so in this story, it's very unusual because three times it says it fell on a day, and it never says it again in the KJV Bible. So there's three portions of Scripture, starting with verse 8, and it fell on a day. And then verse 11, and it fell on a day. And then 18, in the middle of that scripture, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day. And so I'm going to deal with that like that's three different periods of time, not days, but seasons. And it's seasons that this church is going through right now. Shunem, amazingly enough, is called the double resting place. That's the name of it. So you have the double portion. You have Shunem, the double resting place. And you have this Shunammite woman. She's great. She's called great. That's how we're introduced to her. She's great in that same context that they call Moses, David, Job, all those people great. She's in that same list all by herself. And the Shunammite brought me to 1 Kings. Chapter 1, and it's when David's old in years, and he can't get heated up, and his servants say, let there be sought, in verse 2, for my lord the king, a young virgin. Let her stand before the king, let her cherish him, let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may be may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel. And they found Abishag, a Shunammite. And the damsel was very fair, cherished the king, ministered to him. And the king never had sex with her. The king knew her not. And so you have a picture right here of David, King David, who we know Jesus is the son of David. And we're looking at his body being taken care of by this Shunammite woman. And she's literally just ministering to him. And you see a picture of the church, the bride of Christ, and the ministry to the body. Because Adonijah, the spirit of Antichrist, tries to usurp the throne. And when that backfires, in chapter 2, he tries to marry Abishag. He tries to do a roundabout in run on that to take the kingdom. And Solomon, of course, being wise and understanding what's going on, that's the last straw for him. He's dead. Benaiah goes and kills him. But that's all you hear about Abishag. And then the Song of Solomon. It's chapter 6. And you know, the Jewish sages say this, that Solomon wrote this with the Shulamite, which is exactly the same word, Shunammite, being Abishag, being like his muse. And he's writing it, as you understand, as the bride and the king. And we understand that this is a beautiful picture of us and what's eventually going to happen when we're with the marriage supper of the Lamb and so on. But when he's being described, or when he's describing her in chapter 6, he's saying things like, "My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She's the only one. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning fair, as the moon clear as the sun? Terrible as an army with banners." In other words, very victorious and mighty. And she goes on in verse 13, "Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will we see in the Shulamite?" And it's as it were the company of two armies. And that's the same word that Jacob used in Genesis 32 when he realized that he had an army of angels with him. And he named that Mahanaim, or however you say that. And the Jews looked to when the law was given, and when God came down on the Mount Sinai, angels came with him, and Deuteronomy 33 talks about it. And there was a moment there where the two armies, the army of Israel and the army of the angels, were dancing and celebrating the covenant that they were making. And that's how they describe this verse here. And what they're saying is, there's nothing that this world can give us, the Gentiles especially, that would replace that moment there. And so return, return. They're trying to get the Shulamite to return. And no. Because they remember that moment. And so the Shunammite is the bride of Christ. The Shunammite, for our sakes, is Sterling Pentecostal Church. And that's it. That's all you get in Scripture of that. Besides the Shunammite woman here. So we're going to start reading this. Verse 8, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed the Shunam, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread." This wasn't something that just happened, like, "Come on, you can come in and have dinner with us." She had to literally persuade. She had to. It was a process to get him to turn into this house and start eating with them. She constrained him. It wasn't a one-time deal. She persuaded, and something about this great woman saw something in Elisha, and she persuaded him to come eat bread. And so it was that as oft as she passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And that's where this church has been. Pastor Glover and his vision of double We screwed up with man-made measurements. Just like you screwed up when you tried to say that Elisha had double the miracles of Elijah. Come on. So they say, like, Elijah fed by the ravens, that was a miracle he did. No, he didn't. God did that, right? And that would have been a miracle every single day that it happened. What's a bigger miracle, is Naaman being healed of leprosy or Elisha transferring that leprosy to Gehazi? They don't count that as a miracle. That's a miracle. You know what I mean? That gets real stupid when we start to try to compare this double portion anointing with miracles. When there was three things that God told him in Elijah in 1 Kings 19. You're going to anoint Haziel, you're going to anoint Jehu, and you're going to anoint Elisha. He only anoints Elisha. And Elisha takes care of those two kings. He sends somebody to do Jehu, and he does Haziel himself. So we're talking double portion. We screw it up every time when we start to put our ideas on it and what it looks like and what it is. You want to know what it is? It's the double portion anointing of Elisha. That's the double that Stern Pentecostal Church needs to be paying attention to. It's the prophetic anointing of the king priest of Jesus Christ. Kingdom, he's the king of righteousness, Hebrews 7, and king of peace. Pastor Glover did a masterful job last Thursday in his lesson teaching about the importance of listening to your pastor and the spiritual authority. And it is truly, you will never get the kingdom of peace until you allow yourself to come under the government of God and the kingdom of righteousness. It's in order. His government and peace. Kingdom of righteousness, kingdom of peace. And outside of the government of God, you will not have peace. And the government of God is 1 Corinthians 12:28. It's apostles, prophets, teachers, and it's the fivefold ministry of Ephesians 4:11, which is pastors. And he's prophesying that in Jeremiah, I will give you pastors after my own heart. That's Jeremiah 3:15. He prophesies the shepherd. That's what a pastor really is. And so when it comes to a church, you want to know how you should look at it? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He, Mitch Glover, maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He, Mitch Glover, leadeth me beside the still waters. Because if you think he does anything outside of his under shepherd, you're sadly mistaken. And if you think you can get a Psalms 23 outside of following the man of God here, as he speaks, God speaks through him, you're sadly mistaken. And we think that we can do this around in thing on this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a personal, we have blah, blah, blah. Nope, it's not how it works. I talk to Moses, Moses talks to you, and it's never changed. And so the government of God is an absolute necessity to have that kingdom of peace. Coming under that is the greatest thing you'll ever do, because it's the protection and it's the mantle of authority that you're able to operate in, and you're able to pull from the anointing of your pastor, and you'll be able to pull from the anointing of other men and women of God as you're under that covering. Outside that covering, you're opening yourself up to attacks of witchcraft, and you're beginning to delve into witchcraft. So there was something about this woman, never named, but she says, in verse 9, behold, now I perceive. Now this is the transition here for us right now. I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, an upper room. I pray thee on the wall. Set from him there a bed, table, stool, candlestick. And when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And so they're literally making a place for that double portion anointing of the prophet to rest in the town that's literally named Double Resting Place. I mean, does it get any better than that? And actually the Greek or the Hebrew name is like this. I'm not going to go through the numbers, but it's double numbers, double numbers. It's amazing how God is. And so we have Sterling Pentecostal Church, double. As that has passed by, we have had those moments of fellowship. We have constrained that spirit, that anointing, that double portion to come, and we've fellowshiped with it here at Sterling Pentecostal Church. And you can go ahead and conclude that in your house. And in this transition time now is it's time for us to make a room for it in our lives, in this church, for it to dwell and for it to rest. Once we do that, once we make that place, then we're going to switch up to, and it fell on a day. But that's right where we're at in this story here. And that it fell on a day, when you're thinking about what double means, double is going to mean something that you never, ever dreamed of. She had no notion. Number one, this is our focus, and it needs to be our focus, is jumping ahead when Elisha says, this is how much authority Elisha has. Do you want me to talk to the king for you? Because he had just dealt with three of them face to face. He had insulted the king of Israel and said, if it wasn't for King Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even be dealing with you. Why don't you go get your little prophetesses of the Asherah poles and get your prophets of Baal? And he insults them, and they're still with him. And we say that the church shouldn't be involved in politics. Got it. What happened to us? I have no idea, but he's dealing with three kings, and he has the ability to say a word for the Shunammite woman if she wants to. In fact, he says, or how about the captain of the host? What host? Because his double portion anointing includes a host with chariots of fire. That's what goes with him. And so what host are you talking about? The real one, of the captain of the real army there of Israel, or the angels that are surrounding him at all times, apparently? She says, I don't need anything. I can't tell you how much God loves it when we just want him. When we realize the double is actually his spirit, and communing with his spirit and making a place for his spirit to dwell and honoring that. She did it with such care. It's trembling is how it's described. You have turned trembling to us with all this trembling. That's what he says in verse 13. Instead of saying, you've been careful for us, the Hebrew original says, you have turned trembling to us with all this trembling. Because back then, like when Samuel came to town to anoint David, the elders were trembling when he came into town. Because back then they had respect for the offices of God. And that is so important. Matthew 10:41 will never go away. You receive a prophet in his office, in a prophet's name, you'll receive a prophet's reward. If you don't, God will not allow you to be blessed or have his ministry bless you or her ministry bless you at all. If you don't respect the ministry, God will not respect you. Simple as that. And back then, these days, here that we're talking about, they trembled and were very careful in how they did things. And she says, I'm good. And so it turns from her, like this is what we're coming to. It turns from her saying what she would like to him asking Gehazi, what can I do for her? Well, she doesn't have a kid. She doesn't have a son. And her husband's old. and something she never, never thought of. Want to talk about another type right there? He basically quotes the angel that spoke to Sarah in the tent, and in fact, she's standing in the doorway when Elisha speaks to her exactly like Sarah was standing in the doorway of the tent when the angel of the Lord spoke to her in Genesis 18. About this time, according to the time of life, you will embrace child. And that's something that turns this woman that is so careful, that is trembling, that has perceived, by the way, the tribe of Issachar is where Shunem is. They're the ones that studied Torah. They're the ones that knew what to do. First Chronicles 12, they came to David. They had the understanding of the times. She's obviously got that going because she perceives this holy man of God. And now, once she says that, she says, "Do not lie unto thy handmaid." Because that's something that is so, so, so unexpected, and feelings that she goes from that trembling, fearful care to saying, "Don't lie to me." SBC, we have no idea what double means to God. In fact, I was literally like blew my mind. I was just right before church, I hit Psalms 144 for whatever reason. 13, David's praying. Like we talk about, 30, 60, 90 fold, 100 fold. He says, "That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store." Now I'm going to read what I'm going to use the lexicon version of it also. "That our sheep may bring forth 1,000-fold and multiplied 10,000-fold in our streets." We're pathetic, man. Like, that's way beyond what I imagine or think. Or 10,000 or multiplied into myriads. And I know this church right now is in a season where we're all barely making it. And I'm not talking spiritually. I'm saying there's a lot of physical issues that are going on, which means nothing. It means nothing about what this church is, nothing about what God's going to do. We're in a season of that right now. So I'm not thinking like I'm not going to be overjoyed to have 100 people come in and be going like, "This is going to be great." Yeah. I'm doing good to get the service, go home, eat, and then make it to bed in time for my huge nap or something. And so we're in a season here where the double is his spirit. And it's what are we perceiving of that? And are we wanting that? Or are we too busy thinking about what we would rather have or what we want him to give us instead of perceiving that moment right there of we need to build him an upper room so he can rest in our house. And I don't need anything from him. How powerful is that? What a great woman this woman is. I mean, as you go on further, you'll find out how much more great she is. For example, when the child does die, she never once says he's dead. And she tells her husband, "I'm going to go to the prophet." And he says, "Well, it's not the new moon or Sabbath." So obviously she's been spending time with him even in other times, not at the house necessarily, but new moon, Sabbath, spending time with him. And it's going to be okay. Yeah, I'll read it to you. Well, it says, verse 23, "And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, Shalom." They write, "It shall be well." She goes, "Shalom, peace." When she's coming over to Elisha being such a great prophet, he says, "God has not allowed me to see it as a seer, and he has not told me, I haven't heard it as a prophetic word. I don't know what's wrong with this shoot, but run out to her and say, is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? Is it well with you? And she goes, shalom. What a woman we're talking about here, this great, and it's us. God sees us as great. We are the bride of Christ. And God, I wish I really did see that way. But this moment here, Strengthened Gospel Church, we've compelled him to come in. And now it's time for us to make this from a visitation to a habitation. And then we're going to get, and it fell on a day. And we're going to walk into this next chapter of we don't know what's going to be given us. But it's going to be something that we deep down, can't even hardly hope for. And let me say this, if it is children that is on your mind, and this child dies, and how's this all going to work out? Chapter 8, that same spirit comes and takes her and her family out of Dodge before the 7 years of famine hit. And I'm telling you right now, that same spirit is going to take us out of Dodge before these 7 years of tribulation hit. And so her child goes with her. If you're wondering, the end of the story, her child goes with her. But we're not to that point yet. Remember, David wanted to build him a house. And he said, I'll build you a house. And we know that we are the temple in this new dimension of spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. And we know that we've been baptized by one spirit in the name of Jesus Christ into one body. That same spirit, we've drank of that same spirit, and we've been filled with his spirit. And so that's that whole connection to the vine. But where do we make space for him? Time, priorities, sure. My beloved is mine, and I'm my beloved. I forget how that. I'm not very good at the Song of Solomon speech, but it's a love language that's very beautiful, and. Yeah. Pastor Glover, that's all I got.
Let's stand together. There's the phrase that, Brother Mike emphasizing, it fell on a day. There's a phrase that occurs in the prophetic with Elisha, this time tomorrow. You see it several times, this time tomorrow. Barley is going to be sold for so much, wheat is going to be available. They're starving. There's nothing for them to eat. They're eating terrible things. Selling it for a great amount of money. This time tomorrow, this is what's going to happen. That's pretty amazing. But God can do it. And your efforts are noteworthy. Your consciousness of double and your desire and your work for it. But God can make the double work beyond anything that we would dream. And it could happen as the Lord declares it this time tomorrow. or it fell on a day. Oh my. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus. Munda la ramo kose ketende la ramasaha kando la ramo. Oh, Jesus, use us for your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Your kingdom, Lord. Hallelujah. Your glory, your honor. Praise your great name. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Praise your great name. Praise your great name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you've got faith to believe that the Lord could do that. Now, our action is, therein we're sharing, our action is necessary. But God, if we can put our trust, our faith, that God can work a work like that. Amen. You've got faith for that. Why don't you come and stand in this altar area here. We're going to believe the Lord. We're going to trust Him. Amen. The hand of the Lord is going to work. Our God is going to touch us. Hallelujah. Because the miraculous is still His realm. The powerful is still where He operates. The changes is still what He does. Beyond anything that we could do. Oh my. Let's open ourselves to His will, His plan, His goodness. Let's ask Him to do His work. Oh, yes, Lord.